1, 2, 3.
Welcome to In the Studio with a 21st century perspective on history's greatest rock albums. I'm Redbeard, and today in the studio, it's the anniversary of the bittersweet Eat a Peach by the Allman Brothers Band.
'Cause there's a man down there.
You know, the Eat a Peach record was pretty strange to us because that's when Dwayne was killed, right in the middle of that recording. So, you know, we kind of went through a whole lot of stuff.
That changed the arrangement of the songs. It was like two different projects.
Yeah.
We used some of it on each one. It was a strange time back then.
Yes, I know that he won't stay, yeah, without Melissa.
Hi, I'm Greg Allman.
And I'm Dickie Betts with the Allman Brothers Band.
And you're in the studio for Eat a Peach.
The legendary Allman Brothers Band has officially disbanded now, but to this day I still marvel at how it all could possibly have continued for almost 50 years after what happened so early on at the critical launching point in the band's career. 1971 was a bittersweet year for the Allman Brothers Band. Their second album, Idlewild South, had breached the top 40 sales mark in America. Band leader Dwayne Allman had earlier recorded the now classic Layla album with Eric Clapton as Derek and the Dominoes. And as a result of those two albums, Dwayne Allman was gaining a reputation as the premier slide guitar player. The summer of 1971, the Allman Brothers Band had released a double live album recorded at New York City's Fillmore East, which became a critical and commercial success. It vaulted the Allman Brothers Band instantly into the role of America's rising stars. The Allman Brothers Band had to be seen and heard live to be fully appreciated. And it was that 1971 tour that got me and many others really buzzing about the band. Here's lead singer, songwriter, organist Greg Allman with me in the studio.
The hot spots were Atlanta, of course, and New York City had become a real hot one. I guess because of the Fillmore East. Because we went and played there time and time again. We played the Fillmore East many, many times. We were like the opening act, and then the third opening act, and then the second opening act. Finally, we headlined it, I think. Also, Cincinnati was a big place for us. A place called Ludlow's Garage. We never picked up quite as much on the Fillmore West. We never got quite as big out there as we did in the East. Matter of fact, we never, basically, in along the eastern seaboard, in just the eastern part of the country, we were bigger there than we were in the western part because we frequented the East Coast a lot more.
Lord, I
I know some man go walk in, take my place. Ain't nowhere in the world I'm going out that front door.
Recorded at the legendary 1971 Fillmore East shows, that's the Allman Brothers Band, the workup of Sonny Boy Williamson and Elmore James, One Way Out from Eat a Peach. The Fillmore East closed just a few months after those memorable Allman Brothers shows in 71, and fittingly, the Allmans headlined the final night. To this day, the Fillmore East is regarded as one of the best rock and roll venues ever, and former member Dickie Betts and Greg Allman remember why.
The Fillmore East was everybody's favorite gig to play. It was the Carnegie Hall of rock and roll. Bill Graham made a very great presentation of rock and roll with the light shows and the curtains and the presentation of the bands and the set changes. And but the Fillmore East wasn't big enough to pay any of the bands what they made other places. So you know, I think the general feeling among everybody that played there was, you know, even though we could be playing somewhere else for three times the money, we'd rather come to the Fillmore East and play because it's such a great place to play.
It was a real status thing to play there, and you got like a real select crowd when you played there. I mean, the people came there. It was kind of like a underground type thing. But the money was pretty tired, right?
Yeah, it was a small place. I think it seated like 6,000 at the most, 5,000. But it was the best rock and roll showcase that you could play.
Oh, me.
The original Eat a Peach album consisted of 9 songs, 2 of which were instrumentals, a musical form for which the Allmans were becoming very well known back then. One of the songs, Les Brères in A minor, French for The Brothers, was written by guitarist Dickie Betts, but not before the rest of the band was convinced that Betts had copped it from somebody else.
I brought that tune into the band, and everybody in the band kept saying, well, we've heard this melody before. It's some Russian folk song, or it's a song that, you know, you've written somebody else's tune, but we've heard it. And nobody could quite pin down what the tune was, so I just thought, well, because the melody line is familiar sounding, that just means that it's working good. And after we'd cut the thing, the question kept coming up. We were listening to Fillmore East one night in Whipping Post, and in the middle of one of the big improv jams, I played that melody just as a guitar solo, and everybody had forgotten about it, including me, and then it came back in Les Brères, and it was kind of a funny situation because that's where everybody had heard it before.
Greg Allman.
There were no boundaries, you know, back then in the early 70s. I mean, there was no, like, we better shut this tune off at a certain time. It was never even, like, thought of.
Affairs in A Minor, French for the Brothers, from the Allman Brothers Band and Eat a Peach. When we come back in the studio, we'll find out how those extended jams found their way into the Allman Brothers live sets. I'm Red Beard. You're in the studio with Greg Allman and former member Dickie Betts for Eat a Peach.
Hi, I'm Greg Allman.
And I'm Dickie Betts.
And you're in the studio for Eat a Peach.
Thanks, guys. By 1971, the Allman Brothers Band had gained a reputation for blues-based rock and roll filled with long instrumental solos that showed off their incredible musicianship. Leaving their arrangements loose when they played live to allow these jams made for tunes that sometimes lasted in excess of 20 minutes. In fact, the live version of Mountain Jam on Eat a Peach takes up two sides of the original vinyl album and stretches an unbelievable 35 minutes long. Curious about these lengthy solos, I asked former member Dickie Betts and Greg Allman about the Allman Brothers Band as the original jam band.
In the 60s and 70s, people really appreciated watching you do a lot of improv and watching you put yourself in a out on a limb right to the edge and stumble and fall and get back up and put the music back together, and they'd see this whole thing taking place right there on stage. And I think that's, that was the whole attraction to the crowd about the jamming. And, of course, we enjoyed it as much as anybody did. That's the kind of thing that we were strong at, is the improvisation. So, you know, a lot of our stuff is written as a vehicle for that improvisation, which makes the Allman Brothers Band interesting, along with, a lot of other bands. We're not the only people that jam, but it is a risky business. You know, you can paint yourself into a corner real easy with that kind of thing. So maybe that's why some, groups shy away from it when they're in front of a live audience. You know, the jazz players do it, and you hear Stevie Ray Vaughan doing that same thing. Of course, his thing isn't built around a big band, harmony structure like the Allman Brothers, so it may strike you as a little different.
Duane Allman appears on three tracks on the original Eat a Peach album, including a Dickie Betts tune called Blue Sky. Like some other famous Allman Brothers songs, Blue Sky was driven by one of Dickie Betts' earliest influences.
A lot of that Ramblin' Man, Blue Sky, Jessica, that kind of writing is a strong Western influence on my part. But then when you go to Elizabeth Reed or some of the other stuff, or La Brea, see the Western swing thing doesn't really have anything to do with it, or Southbound, or the Western swing big bands, they were just like the Benny Goodman Band, only they had the more Western flavor. They were real interesting bands. They did a lot of twin guitar work, three-part harmony between the steel guitar and the two lead guitars, and most of them even had horn section.
Walk along the river, sweet lullaby, it just keep on flowing. Sunshine, tell me all I need to know. sunny day. Lord, you know it makes me high when you turn your love my way. Turn your love my way.
That was the first time I'd sang with the Allman Brothers Band. It was Blue Sky, and I didn't want to sing that. I wanted Greg to sing it. And he, well, you know, it wasn't that I hadn't ever sang before. I sang in other bands before that, but I just thought Greg would have sang it well, and Tom Dowd and Greg and everybody else in the band said, no, you got to sing this. So, you know, we went ahead and did it. But that was the first song I sang with this band.
You know, I thought that Greg should sing it, but when the producer and Greg came to me and says, no, you know, you need to sing it. Well, you know, I wasn't uncomfortable with that at all.
Stevie Wonder had jammed with Lynyrd Skynyrd, it would have sounded something like Stand Back from Edith Peach and the Allman Brothers Band. Up next, we'll hear the first song that Greg Allman ever wrote and didn't throw away. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, you're in the studio, the Allman Brothers Band, Edith Peach.
Hi, I'm Greg Allman.
And I'm Dickie Betts.
And you're in the studio for Edith Peach.
Thanks again, guys. I'm Red Beard. This week, we're in the studio taking a look at the Allman Brothers' first million-selling album, Eat a Peach. Greg Allman once told me that he had written and thrown away 500 or 600 songs before he ever got one that didn't wind up in the trash. But when he finally did get it right, the song wound up being one of the most popular Allman Brothers tunes ever. It all started one summer at the Nashville home of the late songwriter John D. Loudermilk. Here's Greg Allman with me in the studio.
We spent about a half of a whole summer at his house. The five of us, four of us in the band and him, just kind of, I was fortunate enough to be able to sit and watch him write songs, you know, because I don't think there's any way that you can sit and teach somebody how to write songs. That's the way I picked up on it, and just watching him, you know, and like what he wrote about and about how, you know, certain things are fill words, and garbage truck, for instance, is not a fill word, and things like that, you know. And it was really very interesting. And I came out with a song called Melissa. I'd thrown so many of them away that I didn't know whether this one was worth a damn or not. So it was a few more years before I even showed it to my brother.
was like a slow song, you know, a love song. And I was trying to write some rock and roll. And I just kind of overlooked it. But I wrote it about a perfect mate, you know, like a dream of a perfect mate to end my loneliness, right? And I didn't have a name for it. So I was like at the grocery store, and this little girl was running away from her mother. And the mother said, "Come back, Melissa." And I thought, well, that's a pretty name. So I just put it in there.
Greg Allman turned out to be a gifted songwriter, as evidenced by such standouts as Melissa, Midnight Rider, Whipping Post, and Dreams. Dwayne Allman, he only had the one song recorded by the Allman Brothers Band, the instrumental called Little Martha. To tell us about it, here's former guitarist of the Allman Brothers Band, Dickie Betts.
We recorded that with bass. It was Dwayne and myself and Barry Oakley. And we really kind of wrestled with the idea of whether it sounded better without the bass or with the bass, and we finally decided to use it without the bass. And so then when it appears later on the Dreams package, they included the bass just to show the other version of it. Really, I think the way Dwayne wrote the song and the spirit behind the song, it had a lighter feel to it without the bass in there. So, I guess I like it better that way. That tune was absolutely, you know, fantastic. I mean, it's the only tune that he brought to the band, really. And it was just a beautiful piece of music. I think probably he would have started writing a lot more, you know, if things hadn't happened the way they did.
In the fall of 1971, the Allman Brothers were on a roll. Friday, October 29th, 1971. The Allman Brothers were in the middle of a much-needed rest from the rigors of touring and recording. They'd already finished three songs for their next fourth album and would soon be returning to Miami to complete what would become the Eat a Peach album. At around 5:45 p.m., shortly after leaving his Macon, Georgia home, Dwayne Allman swerved to avoid a truck and was killed when he lost control of the motorcycle. The rest of the Allman Brothers Band was devastated.
You know, the Eat a Peach record was pretty strange to us because that's when Dwayne was killed, right in the middle of that recording. So, you know, we kind of went through a whole lot of stuff, you know, with that.
That changed the arrangement of the songs. It was like two different projects.
Yeah.
We used some of it on each one. That was a strange time back then.
When the Allman Brothers did finally complete the Eat a Peach album, they named it after a phrase that Duane Allman was fond of saying in reference to the Vietnam War, which raged back then. Quote, "Every time I go back to Georgia, I eat a peach for peace." We'll never know just how good Duane might have become as a guitarist, but Dickie Betts remembers what made Duane one of the finest slide players ever.
Well, first off, it was his spirit. And, of course, he was a very knowledgeable student of the blues. He studied all the great blues players, which gave him the background, but... it was his spirit that made his playing sparkle the way it did. And that's one of those things that you can't quite explain, but, he was one of the greatest.
Duane Allman was the veteran session player for hit sessions at Muscle Shoals Studio. Duane was the American guitarist who traded lick for lick with the great Eric Clapton on the legendary Derek and the Dominoes' Layla album. It was Duane Allman who led the Allman Brothers Band, and behind them, an entire new Southern rock movement. But now, Duane was gone. Yet the Allman Brothers Band not only continued, but would reach even greater heights, eventually inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Greg Allman told me the only thing stronger than the brotherhood was the music.
That was basically why we did just about everything. That's what we had to, like, hold on to, you know. And the music was always kick-ass from the very start. So that was a real constant thing in our lives, you know. Without the music, if the music hadn't have been the way it was, then the brotherhood wouldn't have been the way it was. And the whole thing would have just collapsed a long time ago.
A song no doubt the younger grieving brother Greg Allman could not have written prior to losing his big brother Dwayne. That's Ain't Wastin' Time No More, an almost superhuman case of resolve. Eat a peach. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guest Greg Allman and former member Dickie Betts. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2017, all rights reserved, transcription Jane Carpenter, Brunei, theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.